But I want to speak this morning to you on the Psalm 24, so we'll just read it now together. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who have not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen. And God will bless this reading from his very own infallible handbook. Let's stand for a word of prayer. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. As I have already said, I was greatly blessed by the Psalms as I read them in my daily readings. But this Psalm 124 is a psalm which starts with the words of the psalmist. He is surrounded by foes, and he is on every hand afflicted. But he writes this first verse of Psalm 124, and he says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Now Israel may say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. And I was greatly struck with that little word, if. And I want to refer you to five ifs in the Bible that have all to do with the progress we make in the Christian life. Now, this if that we start off with here in this great psalm, this if gives us the secret of saying all the other ifs that are in the Bible. And the first one I want to come to is over in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 15. And we read there about a man called Caleb and what a man he was. He wasn't 75 like me, he was 85. And he was as strong at 85 as he was when he was 40. And so he tells us. In verse 11 of Joshua 14, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me to spy out the land. And what did he say? Verse 9, he followed the Lord wholly. He wholly followed the Lord. And now he comes and he says to Joshua, here is a great mountain It is held in the grip of these evil warriors, men of might. And the great giants are in possession. But he says, if so be, the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. You can hang over this text the if of achievement. Here is the man at 85. He followed the Lord fully. All the other generation perished. Joshua and him only remained. Old men among a nation of young men. But they were as strong as any of the young men. Why? Because they had learned the if of achievement. And he says, if so be, the Lord will be with me. That's the way we achieve anything, by the one who keeps us company. We're in the company of the Lord. And you cannot be a non-achiever when you walk with God. For God is always achieving something for and on behalf of his people. And that's what brings delight to the believer's heart. Well, there's a lot against us, but the Lord is for us. Yes. That's what Luther said. A man said to Luther, Luther, you haven't a chance. The whole world is against you. And Luther smiled, and he said, God and I am against the whole world. Yes. Oh, my friend, today, let us take courage from the if of achievement. And then, if you come a little farther, you'll come over to the book of Kings. And there's a most interesting narrative in the book of Kings at the chapter 7 of the book of Kings. There's a great siege in Samaria. And there are four lepers. And they are just outside the city wall. They're not in the besieged city. They're outside the wall. And beyond them is the army that is out to destroy them and destroy them utterly, the Syrian army. And what do these men say? Poor old lepers, four of them. They say, we will enter in, if we say, we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Here we have the if of argument. And what an argument it is. They argue, here we are, and if we go to the city is a famine-stricken city, and we will die there. If we sit still and do nothing, we will die. The undertaker is sure of his money on both counts. But if we go to the camp of the Syrians, there is just a chance we might be saved alive, although we may be killed. But we argue it's a bad thing to sit still. We've got to take action. No matter what seemingly that action may bring to us. Little did they know that there were no Syrians in the camp. Little did they know that the camp of the Assyrians had been fled from, because God caused a great noise in the ears of the Assyrians. And even the deaf Assyrian heard that noise. It was so loud. And they all ran away. And these lepers came. And they came to one tent. And there was nobody there. And the tables were spread. So they sat down and had a jolly good feast, for they were hungry men. And then they said, well, we'll go round and get some of this stuff and hide it. For it'll be great tomorrow. We'll be rich men. And then God spoke to him and said, you're doing evil. You should go and tell the besieged city of Samaria that God has broken the power of the backs of their enemies. This is the if of argument. May God help us to always argue in the way and in the will of God according to his word. And then if you turn over to the book of Daniel, you will find another incident, a very important incident it is, in the book of Daniel. And three men are going to be cast into the burning fiery furnace in the third chapter of the book, because they wouldn't bow the knee to ecumenical religion. This is all about ecumenism, this chapter. This old King Nebuchadnezzar said everybody will worship the same way. Everybody will dance in line dancing to my tune. That's what he said. Yes. Well, thank God there are people that will not be dancing to Nebuchadnezzar's tune. Yes. And so you'll find it's all lined with sixes. Go home and look at it. It's the number of the beast, this chapter six. Musical instruments and six characters specially picked out and so on. You just count the many sixes that are in this portion of scripture. And they brought these two, the men along, and the king said, I'll give you fellows a chance now. We're going to get the musical instruments to sound, and when the sound fall down and worship this image. What did these men say? They said this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I like that. They weren't diplomatic. They weren't looking for an excuse. They didn't need to have a discussion. Their decision was already made. They said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Now, they did not say, please note this carefully, they did not say, our God will deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They said, God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand. For we may be burned to death, but you'll have no clutches on us in eternity after death. But then he said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve. We will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Their decision was made. It was no surrender to ecumenical worship. I'm sure you heard Mr. Good, the new president of the Methodist Church, on the radio today, and he was trying to argue that the agreement, people got the best of the voting, and it was a great victory for the agreement, the election. They will believe a lie that they all might be damned who have pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh, my friend, let me tell you, here we have the if of abandonment to God. Completely abandoned to God. Doesn't matter what happens. Even if they don't, if God doesn't intervene as we would like Him to do, that will not change us. We trust God in the night as well as in the light. We trust God in the hour of temptation as well as in the day of trial. We trust God at all times. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. I had an old preacher who said to me when I was a young man starting to preach, he said, Paisley, abandon yourself to God. Trust only on Him. Put your whole weight on Him. Never go into the pulpit thinking you can do it, for God can stop you in your tracks. But go into the pulpit depending upon God. Oh, I love this. Yes, I love these words. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But if it's not His will, well, it's hallelujah anyway. I have that over my door down in my office because I met an old preacher years ago and he used to say to me when he left me, it's hallelujah anyway. So I thought I would put that up on a text above my study door. And I was traveling one day years ago and a fellow who was a member of the European Parliament who I'd forgotten all about, he said, Mr. Paisley, I was in your office. And he says, I looked up as I went through the door, and it said, hallelujah, Emmy. And he said, you know, I never forgot that. He says, here's a man saying, praise the Lord anyway. That's what we should be doing. Because the most severest test is before the brightest shining sun. God is good things for His people. I have been in this battle in Ulster for 30 years. I have had hard things said against me and wicked things said against me, and there'll be more wicked things said against me this week. We are now extremists. Ken McGuinness calls us the DUP Sinn Féin. Shame on them. Shame on them indeed. Yeah. And he went round the country saying that his party worked with Sinn Féin, but our party worked for Sinn Féin. Said that was the difference between the both parties. His party worked with, for Sinn Féin. We worked against them. Hallelujah. And I was glad to see in my own constituency that little gun runner. And he's accused of gun running, that little man that fought me. He went down to the bottom. That's the place to put them, down at the bottom. That's where the Lord puts them. The Lord knows how to do it. And the Lord knows how to take the ballot box and cause men's minds to change so that they do that. And I'm not saying, I want to be very careful here, I'm not saying we should put them down at the bottom. The Lord does that. Leave it to the Lord, for the Lord's bottom is a lot deeper than we could ever dig. Amen. Now let's come to that. This, of course, is the if of abandonment. Turn over to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 28. Matthew 14 and verse 28. And we have here Peter. Peter wanted to be the big man. And so he said, Lord, verse 28 of Matthew 14, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. I have been looking at this text of Scripture, and I have found in this text of Scripture, here we have the if of accomplishment. Peter was right that if the Lord bid him to come in the water, he would walk in the water. He was absolutely right. He didn't say, Lord, I'm jumping out of this boat. No. He said, Lord, if you bid me, and the Lord said, come. The Lord did bid him. But instead of him keeping his eyes on the Lord, what happened to him? He saw the wind, and it was boisterous. Look at verse 30. He was afraid and beginning to sink. You know, if you don't keep your eyes on the Lord, after the Lord has told you to come, you'll be in difficulty. You'll be in soul trouble. You'll be in difficulty. But oh, thank God, the Lord was there when he said, save me. Lord, save me. He cried, Lord, save me. But behind this is the secret of accomplishment. Let the Lord speak. We had an old preacher, came to Northern Ireland and said this, and I never forget it. If the Lord said, go through that wall, it'll not crack until your nose touches it. And the time it needs to divide, it will divide. But you have to go right up until your nose touches it. And I know that. God doesn't do things a fortnight ahead of time. God does it at the split psychological moment. That's the moment God works. We want to hurry God. That's our trouble. We can't wait on him. I've been waiting 30 years for what happened this past week. But thank God I'm like Caleb this morning. I'm just as bright today as I was 30 years ago. In fact, I'm a bit brighter because I've had 30 years' experience. And that makes me a wiser and a better man by the grace of God. The if of accomplishment. And one last one, which we don't miss. It's in Romans, the book of Romans, at the chapter 8. The 8th chapter of Romans. And it tells us there, in that great chapter, verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Here we have the if of attainment. You can attain anything with God, for with God all things are possible. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Line them all up. Let them bring their cleverness and their money. Let them bring their schemes and their plans and their programs. Let them bring their allies and their powers and their numbers. If God be for us, the God of the whole earth, the great creator, the only true and living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the mystery of their triune being, if they're for you, friend, you'll never perish. You'll never go under. You will succeed and succeed with the success of the divine omnipotence. Oh, what a God we have. So when we come down life's pathway, let us remember the if of achievement, the if of argument, the if of abandonment, the if of accomplishment, and the if of attainment. And God will bless us. And we'll thank God that we have to bring that little word into our vocabulary. If. For it's a little word that leads us to great things. But off we shall be glad.